From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Alyssa Block. In Afghanistan, there is growing support for an age-old idea. If you can't beat them, get them to join you. It's a strategy the Afghan government, the U.S., and its allies are considering as they struggle with a worsening Taliban insurgency. As NPR's Philip Reeves reports, they have renewed efforts to win over low-level insurgents, hoping to split them from their leaders.
A rocket's just landed. It's dark and cold. A crowd gathers to inspect the damage. This is the center of Afghanistan's capital, Kabul. It's often said this city is the only place President Hamid Karzai's government actually governs. Even here, it's dangerous. The rocket smashed into the outside wall of the Serena. That's a luxury hotel used by foreign diplomats and other international officials. The hotel's been attacked several times before. It's barricaded like a fort. Jan Aga, a shopkeeper, is spattered with other people's blood. The rocket injured two people. Aga tended to them until the ambulances arrived. 8 years have elapsed since the US and other forces invaded Afghanistan and overthrew the Taliban government. This year, those forces suffered more losses than at any time since the conflict began. Military measures have failed to stem a rising insurgency. So the Afghan government and its Western allies are exploring other ideas.
I sense that we have now reset some conditions.
General Graham Lamb is a close friend of General Stanley McChrystal, the American commander of US and Western forces in Afghanistan. Lamb was a top British commander in Iraq. There, he played a leading role in devising a program that led many thousands of Iraq's Sunni militants to stop fighting US forces. McChrystal's persuaded Lamb to abandon his retirement plans and to attempt the same feat in Afghanistan. Lamb says the two war zones are different.
In Iraq, I had fighters on both sides. I had Shia militia on one side and I had Sunni insurgents on the other. Here, one seems to have this rather crude analysis where people just talk about the Taliban as a single sort of entity, which, of course, is a complete misunderstanding of those forces that are placed against us.
Lamb stresses he's come to Afghanistan to assist Karzai and his government, and that they, the Afghans, are taking the lead in a new push to get militants to abandon the Taliban. A few days ago, in a somber ceremony, Karzai was sworn in for a second term. He appealed to militants to return home. Lamb says Karzai has long advocated reintegrating militants.
President Karzai, from the very first inauguration speech, when his first term, right through to now, he's been absolutely consistent. We have not listened and then worked out how we can actively support that intent.
When they go to war, governments use certain words to describe their enemies. They call them fanatics, terrorists, criminals, evil. When making peace, they must rehumanize their foes. That's what Lamb does when he talks about low-level Taliban fighters.
I think there are many who fight well for a bad cause, or for a misunderstanding, a misappreciation, some for a dollar, some because it's cool, some because it's an opportunity to feed a family. Some because actually they enjoy it. There's a range of complex reasons.
Lamb believes most Taliban militants are not driven by ideology. Some fight because they believe foreign forces have come to occupy their lands forever. Some fight because of personal grievances.
This was exactly the same case in Iraq. They had personal grievances where we had killed their family or their friends or their fathers or their brothers, whatever the case may be. What we needed to do was establish a point of dialogue.
Afghans have a term for insurgents. Words that Lamb particularly likes.
Upset brothers. And I think it's a very helpful term.
Upset brothers.
Upset brothers.
Some heavily bearded Afghan men are awaiting their lunch in a rundown mansion in Kabul. This is headquarters of Afghanistan's Peace and Reconciliation Commission. Haji Fazi Ahmed Talwak, a commission official, is by the men's side. These, says Talwak, are our upset brothers, gesturing at the men. And those, he says, are their guns. He points to a heap of well-worn Kalashnikovs stacked on a red oriental rug beneath the chandeliers, specially arranged for the cameras, alongside a large, dust-caked Soviet-era cannon. It's a 75 millimeter, he says. Talwak says the men have just turned themselves in to the commission. He brings on a portly, middle-aged man who says his name is Nur Muhammad. Fiddling nervously with his worry beads, Nur claims he's a member of the Taliban. He says he's quit fighting because he's tired of it. The commission's paid him $100 to cover his transport costs and is going to find him work. But we didn't surrender for the money, Nur insists. I just don't want to see this country destroyed anymore. The commission claims it's processed 8,000 militants in the last few years. Many people are not at all convinced this is true. There are stories of Taliban surrendering one day and then changing their minds. On a wide, dusty street in Kabul, a cluster of armed guards stands watch outside a building. Inside sits Wakil Ahmed Motawakil. Motawakil was foreign minister when the Taliban was in power. He's one of the commission's greatest critics. It has very little authority, he says. He doesn't think right now many Taliban will agree to stop fighting.
I think the Taliban don't trust us. They think there is no willingness for peace. Everything happening now shows signs of war, like new troops coming and militias forming. This reduces the chance of reconciliation.
Motawakil doubts the militants will deal with an Afghan government widely seen as weak and corrupt. He thinks there's even less chance if the US goes ahead and sends in many more troops. The Taliban leadership's already rejected reconciliation. They won't talk to the Afghan government unless the international forces first withdraw. This hasn't dented General Lamb's determination to try to win over their foot soldiers.
There are 32, 34,000 villages in this country. 80% of the population live in the rural community. What we have to do is make sure that these young men who come out of the fight have the opportunity to improve their life. We look at literacy, we look at some of the skills training, we look at the opportunities that exist within the country.
Lamb says Afghan and US authorities won't talk to any Taliban directly linked to Al-Qaeda and international terrorism. But it seems they'll talk to just about everyone else.
On the fact that, and the phrase that is often used, blood on their hands. You know, we've all got blood on our hands. And so therefore one needs to just get through that.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, Kabul.